Just a real quick, a fun fact to know and tell. So Isaiah 1 through 39, chapters 1 through 39, is sometimes called First Isaiah, or maybe Isaiah of Jerusalem. This is happening before the exile, right, and leading up to it. And then we have Isaiah 40 through 55, chapters 40 through 55, features pretty big in Handel's Messiah. This is sort of the going back to the land, or the promise of return to the land. And that's where our lesson comes from today. It's the theme of Rally Day, the new thing, considering not the former things, but the new things that God is doing. So we're kind of eavesdropping, beginning at verse 18. Listen now for a word from God. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this time together. Thank you for all the activities going on in the life of the church, that we get to be a part of them. Help us to sense the new things you are doing among us. In Christ's name, amen. I had to go to the grocery store yesterday, and I still call it the grocery store, but there's so much more going on there than a grocery store. I had to get toothpaste. So I went to the toothpaste section. There's a lot of toothpaste happening in the toothpaste section. There's toothpaste that makes your teeth extra white. Then there's toothpaste that has mouthwash built in. If you have found your life to become unmanageable because of just using toothpaste and then considering mouthwash, now, together, toothpaste with mouthwash. That was kind of blown away by all of that. Every brand has those. Then there's toothpaste that says it's complete. Complete? Does it know that? Is there something more than whitening, more than mouthwashing? And then I noticed also that there's complete with mouthwash. So maybe the first kind of complete wasn't as complete as they thought. All of this stuff fascinates me. You can get, what kind of flavor would you like? There's cinnamon toothpaste. Seems a little wrong, but there's cinnamon. I saw that there was watermelon toothpaste. I mean, all this stuff's got to have sugar in it, which I thought was supposed to be like the opposite of what you were supposed to be doing while you're brushing your teeth, but still, there's all that. There's all of that with whatever character you might like from Marvel or from Star Wars. You can have all of that. All of this right there in front of my face, as the Bible would say, before my face, and I had to choose the toothpaste. But it was all new and improved. That's why I like the grocery store, because everything is new and improved. The end caps were made for me. I feel like they're a personal gift to me from whoever is responsible for the marketing. All these things on the end cap right there. Things that they make you love. They make you love those things, and then they take them away, and you can never find them again. Go back the next week. I had some stuff that, oh, we don't sell that anymore. Well, what? Why did you sell it? I don't know. I just work here. Like, they have a new product. I remember I was sent to find it, and they don't carry it anymore. It's called Bubbly. Maybe you've seen it. Bubbly. B-U-B-L-Y. Bubbly. Has a lovely font. It's not Comic Sans, but it's a very attractive font. They make the word bubbly sort of look like a happy face in a way. And what is bubbly? It's just seltzer water with maybe a tiny bit of flavoring, like a dash of red or blue or something. But it's just seltzer water. But it's new and improved. Pepsi Cola. They did not want you to buy somebody else's bubbly water when you could be buying their bubbly water. So, bubbly. I couldn't buy it though, but it's new and it's improved. And I like that sort of stuff. I like new things. I am the pastor who will make you try something new. If you just wanted to put me in a category, that's me. I like new things. I like new and improved things. But I realize that not everybody likes things that are new. Because some of us, we don't like new things. We might not say that we hate new things, but we ask questions like, why did they improve that? What was wrong with it? I mean, what was wrong with that toothpaste the way it was? Didn't it work? I mean, I'm aware that some people would actually brush their teeth with baking soda, that that's a thing. I don't know. Some people, they dislike that kind of stuff. They don't like, what was wrong with just the seltzer water? Right? They don't want the new things. Some of us dislike the new. We were perfectly fine the way it was. I don't know why it had to be new and improved. McDonald's did a thing recently. They talked about the quarter pounder with cheese, that the beef was high quality beef now. What were they serving us before? It tasted like, well, meat. There was a texture. But now it's new and improved. I mean, I'm confused about that. New and improved. Beef? It's a better cow. You should see, very handsome cow. Don't change, just leave it the way it is. It was fine. It was maybe really perfect. And then maybe there are others of us that, it's not that we love new things and the possibilities of new things. It's not that we despise new things and are grouchy about it, but maybe we're suspicious, have a lot of questions about new things, right? And I think this is kind of a good place to be, because sometimes the right questions, as I said in that wonderful blessing, the right question's better than the right answer, because questions sort of unlock transformations. So we might want to be with the suspicious people and ask questions about whatever's new. Like, if something's new, does that mean that the thing that was old was bad? Right? Why did you have to change it? Like with the McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese. Why did you change it? Did you change it because you just want more of my money? Yes. Or was there something wrong with, you know, with the beef? Taco Bell comes out with better beef. Well, you know, because only about 50% of what they were selling you was beef. The rest was kind of, I don't know what. I don't want to know either. But is that it? Does the new replace the old because the old is faulty? We deal with this in the Christian religion. The New Testament. Forget that Old Testament. Don't need that. We got the New Testament, right? Well, kind of confusing. So is that it? We take our suspicions and we can take them to God with this reading today from Isaiah. Do not consider the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Hold on, God. I've got a few questions. What are the former things that I'm not supposed to consider? Well, the Exodus would have been a former thing. The people being carried by God, the waters part, and the people walk across on dry land. And some commentators say, not even that, because as they walk across the dry land, the riverbed, as they look down, it's a reminder of creation. It's a reminder of how God triumphs over the chaos that threatens to undermine reality, how God triumphs over the waters of chaos and creation. And so as the people look down on what would have drowned them, but they're walking across, they're aware of how God is carrying them across chaos into the promised land, into safety, into redemption. Well, that sounds pretty good. Why can't we consider the former things? I mean, I like that part. I've read those books in the Bible too. Genesis and Exodus. I read them in January and February when I turned over a New Year's resolution before I got to Leviticus and my faith fell apart and I had to say, well, better luck next year. I read those. I like the former things. The former things are good. What's God doing with this new thing? I'm suspicious. Suspicious of this new thing. I mean, what's the deal, God? Because I thought you're supposed to be perfect. I thought you're supposed to be more complete than toothpaste. I mean, perfection means you don't change. You don't need to change. Everything that changes, changes either into something better or into something worse. That's my experience. If God is changing and doing new things, what's going around? What's going on? This is like, we say this about political candidates when they change their mind. If they change their mind, they're a flip-flopper. We don't want any flip-floppers. We want people who were born in suits and knew exactly what they thought and kept that till the day they died. That's what we're looking for. We don't want any changing, nothing new. Thank you very much. So we're suspicious how God is doing something new. What does this mean? What does this mean about the character of God? Do not consider the former things, the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Well, this might mean that the character of God, God's own identity, is a little confusing. Because God is old, right? The definition of old, stuff that happened before you. Like I was born November 6, 1975, 3:40 p.m., Eglin Air Force Base, Fort Walton Beach, Fort. 3:41, I was given a communique. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. You need to catch up. Bing Crosby happened. Jack Parr happened. Lots of movies happened. There's also some books. Walden, apparently, was a big deal. Henry David Thoreau. Lots of stuff happened. I needed to catch up. It was all stuff that I call old. Old stuff that happened before me. You've all got your own stories. Communiques you got, stuff you needed to learn about. Need to learn about Haydn, Bach, Beethoven. We need to learn about the New York Yankees, why you should hate them. There's all that stuff, right? That's all old. Well, God is older than old. God is before, right? That's part of God's job description, right? Being old. But God is also new. God is newer than new. Maybe this is what we talk about in our tradition when we talk about the eternity of God. God is eternal. God is beyond time. God is beyond old and beyond new. We can't keep up with God's newness, God's novelty, the possibilities in each moment that God sort of offers to us. It's beyond us. This old and new at the same time kind of twists our brain into a pretzel, doesn't it? Which are also new and improved, depending on the restaurants you go to. Remember those pretzel buns? Pretzel buns were great. Now, no pretzel buns. What happened? I don't know. So God is old and new. That's in God's own identity, it seems like. But think about the character of God. God's activity in the world. God is somehow consistent in God's own activity. God is redeeming. We look across the history. That's why the Old Testament is so important. It shows us where we've come from, shows us our story, right? The arc of our salvation history. So God is consistent in that tradition and that history, and yet God also somehow does new things. There seems to be a change. There seems to be a possibility that unfolds. I was joking during the Sunday school time, there's a kind of whimsy about God, a humor, right? God is really the funniest of all, and that's what I'm banking on. So there is in God's activity this consistency, but yet this newness and this change. It says so. Don't consider the former things. They were great things, but don't consider those. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And it's growing. It's springing forth. It's coming from the stump. Do you sense it? Can you smell it? Do you see it? Can you listen for it? It's coming. And so we have this spot where we're kind of stuck. Because God's newness and oldness, God's consistency and change, they're all there. And we're sort of standing at the edge of the river. The river that is directing us where we're going. The river that nourishes us, that makes a way for us in the desert. Frankly, I'm not really up for anything new right now. I'll just be honest. I'm tired. Maybe you're tired too. We got that physical tiredness, first week of school, lots of late nights, lots of early mornings. I'm tired. If you think about lots of things or anxious about a lot of things, you don't sleep well, you're tired too. Hello, welcome, glad to have you. Even all the great church coffee doesn't help with that. Then there's kind of emotional tiredness that we've got, right? The longer we live, the more of our friends die. I'm sad that Bill died, I'm sad that Paul died, and I don't want to talk about it. I'm emotionally tired, right? And it didn't take me too long to watch the news before psychically tired. 7 minutes of the news will do it. I was thinking about this the other day, that sport has been politicized and politics has become a game. But that's another topic altogether. I wanted to say that out loud today just because I was thinking about it, but makes me tired. I don't know what makes you tired too. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, you're probably a little tired of it all. So I appreciate that Isaiah is telling me today, don't consider the former things. Behold, I'm making all things new. Something new is happening, a new thing. Can you sense it? Do you feel it? And I say, I don't know that I can handle it. But I know that he's brought me right up to the river, right up to the edge of the river. And I can sense the way the river's flowing. And I know the river is the image of redemption. It's the direction. And I also, there's something nourishing about the river, that it waters me in the desert. And I need that nourishment because I am tired. And maybe you are too. So we just stand at this river together and see what's going to happen. We maybe will like it. We maybe will dislike it. Maybe mostly we're just a little bit like the young kids that came up to get their Bibles. They're just a little bit suspicious about it. Not sure if we're going to have to sing or not. We're just a little suspicious about what's God going to do. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. That's one way the scriptures talk about it. Another way that I wouldn't talk about fearful or anger, I would just say, you know, you start having a spiritual life and you never know what's going to happen. God will have you knocking on somebody's door and you don't even want to talk to him, but you're still there knocking on the door, right? Jesus is that friend who gets you into trouble, but then gets you out. So here we are, standing at the edge of the water, trying to figure out if we wade in or when we wade in or what's going to happen. I feel like I've come to the end. We better have a prayer. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks and praise for this time together. Though we may not be ready to proclaim your praise, as the writer in Isaiah suggested, we do sense that you have us to the edge of the river, that the direction we're moving into is a direction of redemption and nourishment. We know we badly need that. And so help us, whether we feel suspicious about the new things that you are calling us to, whether we like them or dislike them, or can get beyond that, guide our steps today and tomorrow and forever. In Christ's holy name, amen.